On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I review the men's basketball loss in the SEC tournament, talk about what that could mean next or not for the rest of the season, and then I talk about baseball result from the midweek game and preview their upcoming series against Texas. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 49 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And boy, oh boy, is it March. It's that time of year. Everyone's tweeting, everyone's saying it's March. And it's March, all right, because we have had some crazy basketball games this week. And right now, we are sitting here. I'm sitting here Thursday night after a elimination game is over, and my team, our team, has lost. So it is fully March. We are fully into it. And man, that stinks. Obviously, I'm referring to the men's game, and I'm going to dive into it in a minute. But man, it is March. Ugh. I hope that whenever you're listening to this, you have flushed those feelings away. It's Friday, it's Saturday. Go relax somewhere. Have a glass of beer, have a beverage, have some barbecue, do something fun. We Gamecock fans, we've been having a rough go at it this last 2 weeks or so. What's going on? Really? What is going on? Vibes were high not too long ago, and now vibes are low. Low, low, low. Shardy got low, low, low. There you go. Go listen to that song. Go listen to some Flo Rida. Cheer your day right up. But before we jump into that, we're going to stay consistent here. We have a piece of Gamecock fact for you, and here it is. In her final season of women's basketball at South Carolina, the 1990-91 season, Karen Middleton became the first player in program history to lead the Gamecocks in three-point shooting percentage in four consecutive seasons. Wow. Shout out Karen Middleton. That's impressive. And it's a very timely fact, too. I mean, I swear to God, that was today's fact. I'm talking about basketball, talking about March. Women's basketball is our only hope right now until football. So this is a very fitting fact. Shout out Karen Middleton. That's impressive. Four consecutive seasons. Good for you, Karen. But all right, we got a lot to cover today. We have baseball, huge series coming up. But I was going to start with that, and I'm just not going to because I have to talk about this men's basketball game. SEC tournament game, first round, first game, technically second round against Mississippi State in Tampa. And look, I mean, I think we were all very hopeful that we could get a nice tournament run here and then maybe see where that puts us to maybe squeak into the big dance. But at a minimum, you just wanted to see a nice run in the SEC and guarantee yourself a good seed in the NIT, and I don't know what the heck I just watched. Carolina getting trounced 73-51 while only leading or only behind by 2 points at the half. It was 36-34 at the half. Carolina put up 17 points in the second half, shot about 13% or so from the floor in the second half. That was the worst half of basketball I think I have ever watched of any level, like high school, intramural. That was awful. I mean, to start the game, things seemed to go really well. We were pretty hot from three. The defense was working. Frank was mixing up zones to man. And although we were down by two, a lot of that felt on us. It felt like we were turning the ball over, had some sloppy fouls, and it felt like if we could clean that up and keep playing our game, that we would be able to control this game and end up on top. And the exact opposite happened. We continued to foul, and we continued to turn it over, and Mississippi State were the ones who made the big adjustments and were able to push us away from the three-point line and force us to go inside where we do not have a competent big man. And everyone else from the mid-range, if you got the look from three, was completely, completely ice cold. And so with that, the season is done. Kaput. Over. You want to talk about next steps? Like, going into this game, I said to myself, well, you know, I'd put our chances at getting into the NIT at 50-50 today, regardless of results, and I'm going to stay with those odds. It depends on how some other teams do. Maybe there's some lower-seeded teams in this tournament or in the Big Ten or in the ACC that have good runs and then slide in and we get pushed out. I don't know. This was not the showing that I think anyone thought was going to happen. Frank said that this team was feeling confident. We all felt that this team had ended the season strong. I mean, even against Auburn, although it didn't show it, we played with heart. We played with fight. I did not see that in the second half with this team. It seemed very disjointed. And you know what? Frankly, that's been this team. That's been this team this year. It's been a team that has not been able to go a full game, and it's been a team that when it gets cold, it is ice cold. And that's exactly what happened. And we went on a little bit of a run there at the start of the second half, and then Keyshawn Bryant missed a wide-open dunk and literally killed all the momentum. That could have brought it within two, and then within a blink of an eye, it was back to 10. It was just really, really bad. And this is crazy because normally after bad losses, I have a day or so to like digest it and then I record these. But this is fresh. So if I seem a little heated, it's because I am. I'm hot. I mean, that was awful. Like, they stink. They stink. Shout out Mike Francesa. They stink. That was so bad. here's some player highlights for you. I mean, Stevenson, he had 18 points. He was balling in the first half. He looked like he could have missed in the first half. And then he went ice cold. Jermaine Cousinard ended up with 9 points, right? He was balling in the first half. Jermaine also had 4 assists. Like, it was just such a tale of two halves, and I can't even put my finger on exactly what it was. But what Mississippi State did was just pound inside. They kept driving and then feeding their big man, and we just kept fouling and getting them to the line. And we could not stop it. It was like, literally, here's what we're going to do. I think their points in the paint, it had to be in the 40 or 50 points. And then we were trying to counter that with some pick and rolls, give and goes, and whoever it was, Levesque or Bryant or even Cousinard, couldn't make a layup or return it over in the paint. Just not going to get it done. It's just simply not. And I don't want to really reopen the discussion of Frank and what this means, but we've seen this pattern of his teams that they just go cold. Like, they just can't shoot. They can't hit their free throws. It's just these weird patterns that we've seen year after year after year. End the year with 18 wins, 9-9 in conference, going to miss the NCAA tournament. Outside of the year we made the Final Four, like, does that not really fit the mold? I know that year before we had a lot of wins. I think it was 25, 26. But outside of those 2 years, this is kind of what you're going to get. And I know there's hope to get G.G. Jackson, people thinking that his family wants him to play for Frank Martin, but I drew the comparison to a buddy of mine that it's almost like when people said, don't get rid of Will Muschamp because you'll keep Gunnar Stockton. That's not how this works. I'm worried about the program. I want to win. I want to go to the tournament. I don't want to be like, well, this works and this works and this works. No. I want a guy that can say, well, here's how you win in this league. Here's how you win in today's college basketball. I'm going to do it. I don't know. Like, being pretty good in the league, like, that's fun. Like, having 18 wins, like, that's good. But I want to get to the dance regularly. We just have not done that. So this is a tough loss. And it really is a big, big stain on the season because you want to go out playing good ball. Like, if you're going to lose, if we were going to lose this game, let us lose 73-70, 73-68. Say that we were fighting. Say that we were in it. We just got smoked. What's that, 22 points? I'm so bad at math. Yeah, it's 22 points. Just ugly loss. Ugly, ugly loss. And I don't know where we go from here. If we make the NIT, you bet your ass I'm going to be rooting for us. Because as a Power 5 team, we take pride in being that Power 5 team. You better go to at least the semifinals. So if we get to the NIT, which I hope we do, because I enjoy watching basketball. I enjoy watching the Carolina Gamecocks. I hope we get there. But the powers that be need to take a look in the mirror. And I think it's a foregone conclusion that Frank is coming back next year, but he himself has got to be like, what are we doing here? Like, what am I missing that I can't stop the bleeding? I don't know. This team, it exceeded expectations. Yes. I'm happy for them in that sense. Yes. We had a couple of good moments. Yes. But when you look at the full picture, I just don't know. You know, I'd give them like a C+. You know, like, yeah, you passed. Like, yeah, like it wasn't awful, but look at where you ended. Not very good. So I don't know. Everyone just flush it. Flush it. And then not much to talk about on the women's front because we are waiting for that tournament to be seeded and everything like that with our conference tournament ending. But the real prize as far as basketball goes and the University of South Carolina goes is the women's tournament that is still there, that is still very much alive, that is still very doable. We are the number one team in the country for a reason. I know that the SEC tournament didn't go our way, but hey, the real hardware is at the end of the Final Four. So let's put all of our energy and all of our good vibes into Dawn and company and believe that she is going to lead us to the promised land. That's where the hope is, people. That's where the hope is. But then moving on to some other games that happened and something to look, I guess, look forward to this weekend. It's been a tough go in Gamecock country is our baseball team. So to give you a quick recap of what happened in the midweek game, this is even tough to read. We lost to Xavier 15-7. Tough. No way about it. We were up 4-2 after three innings, and then the fourth inning happened. Gave up 7 runs in the fourth. Gave up 1 in the sixth, 2 in the seventh. We tried to stage a little bit of a rally in the eighth. We scored 3, but that's really just about it. And I know no games are gimmies, but Xavier was 2-9 going into that. That's pretty much as close to a gimme as you're going to get. Couple player highlights here. Kevin Madden had a homer. Brant Belk went 1-for-3 with 2 ribbies. And I don't really know. Like, this leads to bigger questions as to the state of South Carolina baseball. I mean, we have a standard at our school. And right now, I know it's a small sample size of this season, but it feels like this could be speaking to a bigger issue. You know, the sweep of Clemson, that sucked, right? Felt like we had that first game, didn't go our way. It felt like that loss kind of cost us the other two. But then to lose to Xavier at home, a team that's not very good, is very worrisome. I think it speaks to no pitching depth right now. Like, yes, some guys are coming back, but even with that, like, really, how much is there? I just don't know. I mean, last year, this team started hot. And then they cooled off a little bit in that middle stretch. But at least they could say, hey, we got to get back to that feeling. We can find it again. This team hasn't really gotten to have a good feeling. So you can only guess what the morale is. Right now, we just got to find a way to tread water, try to find an identity while that depth is not there on the pitching front. And to me, that formula is twofold. One, you do everything possible to get Will Sanders wins on Fridays. He's our best chance to win, given any series. And then if you get that first one, who knows, right? But then you have to absolutely win your midweek games. Now, not every opponent is going to be Xavier level bad, but look, that didn't even go great, right? But those games have to be taken extra seriously now. I don't know if Kingston and company maybe try out different pitchers and things like that against a team like Xavier, but no more. has to be your best foot forward every time. Otherwise, this season could get out of hand in a hurry, especially with what we have on deck, some pun intended, in this series, but then beyond that. Because right now, our next series this weekend is at home against Texas. And so what are we looking at against Texas, Gamecock fans? Texas is the number one team in the country right now. Lovely. Just what you want to hear. And they are 12-2 overall, including a sweep against Alabama and wins against Tennessee and LSU. So in short, they're damn good, and I'm pretty damn nervous. That's really all there is to it. The pitching rotation for the Gamecocks this weekend is probably what it's going to look like for the next couple weeks. Starting with Friday is Will Sanders, Saturday is TBA, and Sunday is TBA. The Texas pitching rotation we have is Friday, Pete Hansen, who is 2-0 with a .53 ERA. And Saturday is Tristan Stevens, who's 3-0 with a 0 ERA in 19 innings pitch. So that's not a fluke ERA. And then Sunday's TBD. I don't know, y'all. That is tough. That is scary. That is just the, oh, my Lanta. When it rains, it pours. And speaking of rain, the Friday game actually got moved up because of weather. So that game's actually now at 1 p.m. as opposed to 7. So, hey, if you're looking to cut out of work early, or you're looking to put on your out of office from 1 to about 4, put on the game. Will Sanders pitching, he's really good. I mean, I'll put him against anybody from what I've seen, at least this season, and I mean, even going back to last, but you have to be able to find some support for Will. And speaking of that, that's my crow to this series here, is you 1,000% have to capitalize if and when there are runners in scoring position. I like how I had to put if. But really, I mean, this year, y'all, the Gamecocks, we've not been able to do that for the most part. You saw that against Clemson. Get guys in scoring position, and we couldn't bring them home. So if you're going against an elite team like Texas, you have to cash in when those guys are there if you want to keep up with them. Because really, outside of Friday, with Will Sanders against them, I think it's a fair assumption that Texas is going to score plenty of runs because of our lack of pitching depth. And so, if they're going to score runs, you got to try to score with them, which we've seen we can do in some bursts. So, if guys can hit timely with some consistency, not be top-heavy in the lineup, who knows, right? Maybe you can hang with them for a game or two. But regardless, it's going to be a big, big challenge. It's cool that Texas is coming to Founders, but man, it's a tough, tough challenge. And just the momentum is just not there whatsoever with this program. It's almost like you wish they came later in the year or like right away. This is just coming at a really bad time. But overall for the series, I mean, look, don't get it twisted, right? I said this from when I very started the podcast. I will always have belief in my team. I'm always an optimist. I'm a forever optimist. I wear garnet glasses. That's always going to be the case. I'm always going to believe the Gamecocks have a chance. Doesn't matter who we're playing, especially when it's the number one team in the country. But right now, we have just not had a lot of reasons to be overly positive, so it's hard. But I'm hopeful for Friday, especially with Will Sanders. That's who I'm putting my faith in, that we can hang with these guys. Outside of that, I'm really just hoping that it doesn't get ugly and maybe we can hang with these guys a little bit offensively. And sometimes baseball's funny and you end up on the right side of one or two. But right now, it's just kind of hope for the best, right? And we'll see what happens. But all around, we got to find an identity with the baseball team. With the men's basketball team, it's a really crappy way to end the season. I feel better talking about it now. I already do. But if you're down in the dumps, football's around the corner, spring game's around the corner, but just go watch the video that's the pinned tweet on the football Twitter account. Always puts me in a great mood. But do not lose sight that Don Staley and company are taking the court very soon and are going to be in a legitimate quest for a national championship, and that's who we have to put all of our eggs right now. All the eggs go into the women's basketball basket because I fully believe in them, and Dawn Staley has all of my faith. And with that, y'all, that wraps up today's episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, review, and subscribe the podcast wherever you listen to. I appreciate all y'all. Have a great weekend. Let's go, Cox.